marijuana. The labeling before, the labeling now, I should say, has been influenced with the new recreational program. Prior to October 1st, the medical program that is regulated by the Oregon Health Authority has had regulations put in place for a long time. And in 2015, the Oregon Health Authority created new labeling standards for both recreational and medical. These rules were updated in, they were made permanent in June of 2016, and those are the rules that are going into place on October 1st. I should say that the October 1st date is kind of a deadline for the medical program, so all medical products have to be compliant with these labeling rules starting on October 1st. The recreational, so anybody that has an OLCC license, they have to be compliant with the rules before they sell a product. So the differences between these labeling rules is that the current rules require a lot more information. There's a lot more tracking information. There's different warnings that are required to be on the label, including a new universal symbol that must go on every label. And the universal symbol was created by the Oregon Health Authority. I'm sure everybody's going to see it at some point. It is a marijuana leaf with an exclamation point.
Beyond the symbol, there's more data on the packaging itself. Could you describe an example or a few examples of the new information that you would find on packaging?
Sure. So one thing is an activation time. So all products, except for seeds and plants, have to have an activation time listed on them. And this is the time in which a consumer is likely to feel the effects of the product. That's one example. Edibles have quite a few new requirements that have to go on them. One of the warnings that's required to go on there is a statement notifying the consumer that the product may take up to 2 hours or more to take effect, so to be cautious when they are consuming them and to not take too much at one time. There are also new requirements in terms of there's different warnings for one says it is illegal to operate a motor vehicle while under the influence of marijuana. Then if there's kind of program-specific warnings for the medical program, there's a warning that says that it's for OMMP patients only. For the recreational program, there's a warning that says it's for use only by adults 21 and older. So those are kind of some of the examples for these products.
In your position, do you have to understand the differences between the recreational and medicinal products as well? So will there be a strict difference between what is allowed for OMMP patients versus a recreational 21 and over user?
So the main difference is the concentration limits. So within the Oregon Health Authority's rules, they set the concentration limits. So for example, an edible product in the recreational market has a THC limit of 5 milligrams per serving and 50 milligrams per container. So each serving, each individual serving, which is determined by the processor, it cannot contain more than 5 milligrams per serving, and it cannot contain more than 50 milligrams per package. On the medical side, there is not a per serving limit, but there is a limit of 100 milligrams per package. So it's those types of the concentration limits that are the difference between the labeling of the medical and recreational products. And like I said before, there's also the difference in the warnings that go on the labels for medical and recreational, and for each processor or producer that's creating these products, there's certain tracking information, and they each have to have their business name and their either registrant or OLCC license number.
Thank you. And with the insight that we have into the recreational policy on marijuana, how do you think that this labeling policy is going to affect customers and small businesses within the community that handle marijuana?
So I believe that the with the new label regulations, consumers will have more information available to them that will help them to be able to make more informed choices. For example, on a package, they may see a serving size and be able to know how much of that product they should consume or may want to consume, and the THC level that is in that particular serving size. They will also have more information about how long the product takes to, will likely take to affect them. They can also have lab information and information about the tracking of the product. So that will all be listed on the package. For small businesses, the labeling and packaging requirements have changed, and those small businesses that don't want to spend a lot of money creating really expensive labels can use a generic label. So the rules allow for generic labels, which just need to have all of the label requirements listed on the label without any logos or graphics or pictures. So that is an option, a much more cost-effective option if that's something that they need.
And in response to the generic labeling, on the other side of that, what is the conditions for having non-generic labeling, having your own art, for example? What are the requirements to produce a label that might have more intricate designs?
Sure. So part of my job description, part of what I do, is I review labels. So not only do I look for information that's required by rule, but I also have to look for certain things, such as if the label is attractive to minors or if it contains any false or misleading statements. So if someone wants to use a generic label and they don't put any pictures or logos or graphics or text not required by the rule, it's not something that I would need to look for those particular elements, and so they actually do not have to go through the pre-approval process and pay the fee for the pre-approval process if they use a generic label. So that is something that they can do to save a little bit of time and money, but they will still have to be compliant with all of the labeling regulations.
In reference to what you just said about some packaging being attractive to minors, how is the policy changed for the coming October 1st requirements?
This information has been out there, but what will happen on October 1st is there is a definition for attractive to minors, and that definition includes that the label cannot contain any cartoons or cannot be similar to a non-cannabis product, a consumer product that is typically marketed towards children. For an example, a cartoon would be something that has comically exaggerated features, or it would be anything, an object or character or animal that has human characteristics. So for example, like a dog driving a car or something like that, that would be considered a cartoon. Additionally, anything that has extra human abilities, so superhero type things, cannot appear on the label. Those would all be things that would be considered attractive to minors.
Have there been any packaging requirement changes that will go into effect on October 1st in reference to child-safe packaging?
Yes. It depends on the product type what kind of packaging that you're required to have. So, for example, plants and seeds do not require child-resistant packaging. However, all other product types require some type of child-resistant packaging. All extracts and concentrates, and then for edibles, tinctures, and topicals that contain 15 milligrams or more of THC, the packaging has to be resealable and continually child-resistant. For an edible, topical, or tincture that contains 15 milligrams or less, the product can go into a single serving or single-use child-resistant bag. So that's the single-use bag is one in which once it leaves the store, it's child-resistant, but once it's opened at home, it's no longer child-resistant. A resealable, continually child-resistant package is one that you can open and close time and time again, and it still maintains its child-resistant properties throughout the life of the product.
Thank you. And how do you think this would affect local small businesses who sell marijuana products? Would they, do you believe, have any trouble obtaining some kind of packaging that would remain child-resistant for their products?
A lot of people are using what's called an exit bag. So this is a a bag with, they have many different kinds of closing mechanisms, but for, I think, one of the most prevalent ones is like a push down and slide. So it looks like a Ziploc bag, but it's got a plastic piece that you have to push and slide at the same time. Those types of bags are becoming pretty common, and I think that that is what a lot of people use to satisfy this requirement, and that is compliant with the OLCC packaging rules. Prior to October 1, there has been a requirement for child-resistant packaging. The change on October 1 is that in order for a package to be considered child-resistant, it has to be tested and certified by a third-party testing firm. So we've been requiring those certifications, and I have been going through lots and lots of applications in the last few weeks, and I have seen many, many different types of child-resistant packages. And once a package is approved by the OLCC, it can be used by anyone throughout the state. So a small business could find something that's on our pre-approved list and, you know, price it, make sure that they like it, they like the way it looks, and that it's the right price, and then purchase it.
Anything that we haven't covered today, would you have a recommendation for who to contact about those kinds of questions?
Sure. Well, they can contact me, Jamie Dickinson. There is an email address that's specifically for packaging labeling questions, and that email address is marijuana.packaging@oregon.gov. And then the phone number for the packaging labeling line, which goes straight to me, is 503-872-5459.
Thank you so much, Jamie, for speaking with us today. And if you have any other closing comments about what you think would be important to know about the labeling and packaging that's coming into effect on October 1st,
so the only other thing would be that the labeling rules were set by the Oregon Health Authority and the packaging rules were set by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. This regulatory system has been established in order to be compliant with both the Cole Memo, which was released by the federal government, and state statute. And we've given a lot of considerations to all groups, including people, consumers and people in the public, as well as people in the marijuana industry.
Thank you very much, Jane, for speaking with us today.
All right, thank you.
This is Natasha Delapine with KBOO News.
That'll do it for the KBOO Evening News for Monday, September 26, 2016. Labor Radio is coming up just at the top of the hour. Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Portland Underground Graduate School. Classes that begin in October include How to Ally with Portland's Urban Native Americans and Cascadia Earthquakes, Live With It. Portland Underground Graduate School is also known as PUGS. Classes take place all over the Portland metro area. Information about registering, future classes, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 6 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Labor Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's labor.